to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So, no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Guess what? Priscilla Vang owns Payroll Vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is our sponsor for today's mentoring conversation. Priscilla discovered through helping clients find tax solutions that they need a payroll service that they can count on. She has taken her client-focused skills, accountancy degree, and technology-driven software tools to help business owners redefine how they do payroll. This saves time and money. Priscilla is passionate and dedicated to building trust over the long term with small business owners. With Priscilla, providing you with the best payroll service possible is what directs her life. You can call her 651-751-783-2509 or just click on the homepage of www.wementor.com and you will see a button to directly connect you with Payroll Vault and Priscilla. All right. Well, for a second conversation, we have Jan Lehman in the Skype studio. Hey, Jan.
Hi.
Good to have you back. Jan is an executive coach, productivity expert, and speaker. She works with clients all over the country. She's the founder and president of CTC Productivity. And you can use two acronym names for that. It's either Clutter. Can the clutter. Yeah, or yep. Circle the customer, whichever fits
Very
for
good.
You. I've been paying attention. She's the founder and president of CTC Productivity, like I just mentioned, and she's Twin Cities-based, woman-owned and operated business. CTC Productivity, that is. Their mission is to help individuals and businesses understand their organizational challenges and provide self-sustaining solutions that improve productivity and reduce stress. Jan was recently named a 2018 Women Who Lead Minnesota Business Magazine honoree. She was nominated by three of her coaching clients. Through her coaching, one of her client companies is now 30% more efficient and has significantly increased its employee engagement. You know, Jan, it sounds to me like you do not have one cookie cutter way of working with your clients, that you really focus in on exactly what they need and tailor fit your programming to what they need. Is that accurate?
Wow, you are so observant. Yes, people assume that it is cookie cutter and it's really not. And it's interesting, I had a couple different clients this year make the comment that we meet them where they're at, you know, so it's kind of like what's going to work right for them as a person and their, you know, their quirks and their, all that stuff. And yes, it's very well said. So I have standard tips I do give over and over, but often they need to be applied just slightly differently for each person.
And in our last episode, we learned that kind of you have moved around a fair amount, living in Indiana, Illinois, Bloomington seems to be your kind of city. And in Oregon. And 5 years ago, you made your venture here, which it sounds like your husband's family is from Minnesota.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. I also lived overseas, if you want to know my whole trip.
I do. Yeah. Right. Lay it out for us.
So my husband hates it when I say this, but they really were some of the best days of my life. I was an expatriate with Kraft Foods living in Stockholm, Sweden, and I had 60 employees across the Scandinavian countries. And so, and I sat on a European Information Systems board. So I had our staff meetings literally were in Paris and Athens and London. And it was quite nice. So I worked there. That was my last job before I quit and then started my own company.
Wow. So you've got a lot of real concrete background that really has shaped your expertise really in productivity and executive coaching.
Yeah, I think it's especially make me comfortable talking to executives. So I would not be afraid to coach the CEO of 3M or any large company. Because I'm used to working. Before that, I worked for Accenture and clients. Our clients were Securities and Exchange Commission, United Airlines, really big clients. So, it doesn't scare me.
Well, I'm not surprised if at age 14 at an ice cream shop that you're negotiating your wages by based on productivity. I mean, that is really, I think that is
that
just,
is pretty funny.
Yeah, it totally is, like very performance-based. Oh, thanks. Oh, well, it fits together so well. I have a very good visual picture of some of what you're expressing about your background and your expertise. Let's see. I was going to ask you some more about your family. So you've moved a lot as a family unit, and you've got four kids, is it, or three?
Three.
Three kids. Okay.
They're about as loud as four, but there's only three of them.
And what ages are they now?
They are, 11, 12, and 14, and they all have ADHD, and they're just lively and wonderful, and it's interesting because a couple of them definitely really struggle with organization and process, like so many of our clients, but they're going to be brilliant, creative minds when they get out of the, you know, the sort of structured process of, you know, school.
Yeah.
But yes, it's quite entertaining on most days in our house.
Yeah. Well, your organizational skills, I'm sure, help with them with structuring their days.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. And where have you gotten the main support for your business venture, especially since moving to Minnesota and kind of reestablishing yourself, both as a family and also as a business? Did you kind of get connections before, or because your husband's family was here, you were kind of naturally kind of, when you were visiting his family, kind of forming some of those connections?
No, I don't really think that any of my personal relationships have driven the size of my business, if that's what you mean about, like, as far as getting clients.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, support, my brother who's in Chicago is definitely one of the ones on my, you know, my informal board of directors. He's just a brilliant business mind and has sold companies and made a lot of money. And so he's the one that will challenge me strategically fairly often. And then my husband is, like, the best PR person ever. So he's the first one to be telling people what great things I can do and all that. But I've just been pretty aggressive about getting out and really doing networking and making business connections and those sort of things. I've been very fortunate.
Your husband sounds like Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband, who had helped her get on the Supreme Court. He was so convinced, I just recently saw her, a documentary of her life. She's now 83. And I just was so impressed with how much he worked to get her on the Supreme Court.
Oh, that's fabulous.
He's
a great supporter. And if I ever have a bad day, he's the first one to remind me of the, you know, 20 successes I had the day before or whatever, right? Put it in perspective.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. Are you part of any other groups that you attend on a regular basis to bounce ideas off of other people?
I'm a part of NAPO. It's the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. And I'm way overcommitted right now because I'm in three spots. I'm the vice president of our local chapter, And so we have great, you know, conversations and connections with that group locally, with, you know, sharing businesses with each other and ideas and stuff. And then I'm on the national, I play a national role with the organization. I'm the marketing chair for the entire NAPO National. And I also am a co-SIG leader for the Business Organizing and Productivity SIG, which is fabulous. So anytime I've got like a question about technology or process, you know, these are my peeps. And so I'll toss the, you know, toss the question out to them. What I love about being the leader, quite honestly, is if I want to better explore a topic, then I just go find a speaker and bring them in to present to our group
sure.
on the topic. And yeah, so it's just a wealth of knowledge. It's literally productivity consultants from around the world in our group. And NAPO is an excellent organization for people.
Oh, that is terrific. Great. Okay, well, it sounds like you're well-supported, and also you're in leadership roles there, so there's a lot of challenges going there. How do you spend your, whatever free time you have, how do you like to spend it to rejuvenate yourself?
I love going on long walks by myself just to, like, free my head. And then I love doing like activities with our kids, like going boating and tubing or hiking or different things like that. So anything outdoorsy. And definitely my husband and I are all about adventure. And so we love to travel and take the kids. And so I would say any extra time we have, it's trying to figure out what we can do for fun.
Well, that sounds great too. Oh, okay. Terrific. I think our audience would really like to know, I hear often from business owners that the ability to really focus in on what they're doing is being challenged. I was just in a conversation that aired on July 25th with John Lee Dumas, who owns Entrepreneurs on Fire. And he's doing, you know, workshops on helping people to be more focused and, you know, because there's so many distractions right now. And he's had thousands of conversations with really successful leaders. And what they all have in common is they focused in on like one big goal per year that they just worked really hard on. And there were a lot of different parts to it and pieces, and they had to grow a lot personally. But he attributes to his own success. He's a multi-million dollar podcaster, and he teaches other people to become podcasters. And he attributes it to focus, he and his wife, Kate. So I was wondering what your thoughts are about focus, and how does that play into productivity and organizational skills?
100%. It's, you know, when we're writing this book, my publisher asks, like, what are the tips you give over and over and over again? And that's the number one. If you remember, Nancy, from the presentation, I'm a believer in know when your focus time is during the day. So when is it that, you know, you're completely on, your energy level is high, you can like write something perfectly the first time. And, you know, the whole goal with that is to identify when that is and then protect it like a mama bear, right? So a lot of times people will have their most focused time will be like 8 to 10 in the morning. And that's when they have staff meetings and other things that quite honestly they could do when they're not as focused. And so it's about really finding that time when you can crank out your work at a high quality and use it for your most important work and or the work that requires you to be the most focused. Because every time you get interrupted, you go back about 20 minutes. And so if you're really trying to work on a strategic plan or something and somebody just knocks on the door and says, hey, do you want to go to lunch? It's not really a huge mental distraction, but it's enough a distraction that you go back in time and have to start over and get back in your groove. And so the more you can have block focus time and then have your priority list so you know your most important work you're supposed to do and you get that done first, you're going to have huge advancements. But people tend to just get on email first thing in the morning and they assume that since they're busy and they're responding to emails that they're being productive, but productivity is not about being busy. It's about getting your most important work done.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I had Mickey Mikeworth on the program, and she's a financial guru, and she gave like 10 tips. So we broke out the 10 tips into for consultants in addressing their time and managing their, and really just building a successful consultancy. And one of her suggestions is to see if you can earn all of your money in one day. So whatever amount of money that you need for the week, that you try to figure out how to generate that in one day. And I was thinking about that for John Lee Dumas. He used to do a podcast every day. So for 5 years, he put out a podcast episode. And what he would do is interview all his eight people, because he had, you know, if somebody canceled or something, on a Monday. And that's how he spent his day. And that was really basically generating the income for him for the week, because he had all his shows lined up. So then he could spend the rest of the week promoting it and, you know, preparing all the shows to air and that kind of a thing. So I was wondering, does that philosophy fit for you and how you're building your consultancy?
No, because I would say, what I like to do during my focus time, which is in the morning, is either working with my clients, because I want to be 100% on. And as we talked about, it's not cookie cutter. So yeah. I'm listening to what they're saying and figuring out what might be the right sort of customized solution for them. And I could never work with more than two clients a day or I'd be brain dead, right? So I would tend to spread my revenue generating time tends to be spread across my mornings when I'm focused with my clients or when I'm writing my book or writing a new presentation, those sort of things. And then I do more my afternoon is when I do administrative work, payroll, all those things. But I like the concept of sort of trying to get it all in one day. People love competition. They love deadlines. And those are great effective strategies. And if you had certainly like a sales team and you'd structure it in a way that you said, if you made all your goals by Monday, you could take the rest of the week off. That would be fabulous, right? If they got it done.
That would be really motivating.
Go, right? So yeah, I think in certain industries, that could be a great strategy. For my business, it wouldn't work the best.
Well, and the main thing is that you're chunking out time for, income generating, producing, activities. You know, you're chunking it out every morning, and then you've got the afternoon that you've got all these other activities that you need to fit in as well. But you're focused in your time on, in the morning, every day of the week. When you first started your business venture, so let's see, Can the Clutter, you started in when you lived in Oregon.
Yeah.
And then managing the company from Minnesota has not been a where you can really grow your presence in Oregon the way maybe you thought maybe might be a possibility, because you need to be there.
Right. Just for that particular, that was more home organizing. We can do productivity consulting all over the country because we do a lot of virtual coaching. And honestly, we can do virtual home organizing if it's more somebody that wants the accountability and just the advice, but they don't need the hands-on help. So it's kind of funny. The business has evolved now to where we're kind of back working with clients in a lot of different states. But the home organizing when somebody wants like the hands-on help, that's difficult to do when you don't have a presence there.
Yeah. Cause I could see if you're doing, virtual, consulting with cluttering, that they could maybe hide their messes.
There's definitely some trust there, right?
Yeah, or it would be kind of fun to see, you know, the video camming the room, you know, doing a like zooming the room and giving you a visual of what they're up against.
Yeah, it's fun, and people, we get more hugs on the job with the home organizing. Everybody's so happy.
Yeah. It's great. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So. It sounds like you're in the mode of kind of you've got I noticed in your on your website that you are trying to balance out your life because you have a lot of demands in a variety of areas on the home front and trying to grow your business and really expand mm-hmm. in a new state that you're still getting acclimated to. How many of the skills that you teach are you applying to yourself?
I'd say a lot of them. It's funny. I think every team meeting we have, I'm always like, okay, this what we're doing right now is another good example of what we need to coach our clients on.
Oh, that's great.
So, and I some people procrastinate. I probably work too much. You know, that would be my sort of challenge. The good news is I have a fabulous babysitter who's way more fun than me. So my kids enjoy her. She'll take them to do stuff. So yeah. So they're happy, but but it is funny. Every once in a while I will see that I'm procrastinating something. And you know, I'll think about what I tell my clients and then I do it. So my silly thing that I always procrastinate is writing thank you notes. I can't stand writing. I hate my handwriting. I have horrible spelling. And so I've literally now delegated that to one of my team members to write our thank you notes and stuff. I'm a big fan of you delegate stuff that you procrastinate because you'll probably never get to it. And why just get rid of the stress?
You know, that's one of the same tips for self-compassion is to write yourself a letter like you were writing it to a friend or talk to yourself like you are talking to a friend, you know, because we can be pretty harsh on ourselves.
Oh,
When the critic shows up. So, that's a good self.
Especially as females.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. As we're closing out this wonderful conversation, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about your book and when it's being published or when you're thinking it's going to be coming out so we can kind of look forward to it. And I want you to make sure you let me know so that we can have another conversation about your book.
Oh, that would be great. So, yeah, it's probably it won't be out until next year. And I think we're somewhat set on the structure of it, but the original idea was what we had talked about before, which is my productivity tips are not going to go anywhere unless people are willing to change. And in particular, again, my goal is to change the entire culture of an organization. And in order to do that, I really need a progressive leader to push through the change. And so that was the original premise of the book, was to talk about the importance of the two together. And again, the one client that's transformed his business is now 30% more efficient was because he was a very progressive leader. And he was able to really kind of morph the company through him being kind of holding firm on certain things, and they've benefited immensely because of it. But the book it's going to be structured about our three T's, so our time, talent, and technology. So some tips from each of those sections. And some client stories splattered throughout about these wonderful clients. And I'm excited about it. But yeah, it won't be till next year because we're not on the fast plan of getting the book out.
Yeah, you're on the manageable plan.
manageable. But I'm not doing the writing. They're all my ideas and I have someone doing the writing. But it's, kind of slow and steady, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
It's expensive to publish a book, I'm learning too. So I'm happy to have this spread out a little bit.
Yeah. Are you going through a publisher? Or are you self-publishing?
Mm-hmm. I'm going through a publisher, but I'll own the rights to the book. So
okay.
I don't know what you call that. So
that's excellent. Yeah, that's the way to go. Have you heard of the book Traction?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of EOS.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we are a great supplement to the EOS model.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, to help with the meetings. And, they've developed a really software program that's really good for manufacturing companies to help them get more traction in their and sew up some of the holes within how their teams are how they're manufacturing products and software solutions. Mm-hmm. And I've been just getting more training on it because I'm running into traction consultants all over the place.
Yeah. No, they're great. We tend to, if you know the traction terminology and stuff, like one area where we've definitely helped a lot is when people move out of the kind of traditional owner role into more of a visionary role. You know, they're supposed to be more about the vision of the company and building the big customer relationships. Often those owners really struggle with getting out of the weeds of the business. And so we've coached some EOS visionaries on, you know, good time management and how to set up processes. And people are really scared of white space on their calendar, I'm learning. And a visionary typically ends up with white space on the calendar because they're not involved in day-to-day meetings. And it gets kind of scary. And so it's about creating some sort of structure to them, even though they live now in a very unstructured world. And so that's a good example of where we kind of are a nice add-in to the EOS model, where we can use our strengths and help the EOS implementers be even more successful.
Yeah, it's funny. Those transitions remind me of my dad when he's my parents are dairy farmers. And when he was retiring from farming, he sold his cattle and pigs and, you know, and all of a sudden all the livestock were gone. And he was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, so pretty soon he's starting to get, you know, chickens back and pigs back. And but he reshaped it, you know, to fit his, how he wanted to phase out the livestock. But what you were saying as far as white space, a person needs some transition time to adjust to new responsibilities, yep, or different responsibilities, and letting go of how they filled the day. And like you're saying, you're working with people on that. Well, this has been a delightful conversation. You're doing really important work. You seem totally fit as far as just your personality and what you've, how you naturally are in the world and what you're meant to do. You're totally grounded in that.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's so awesome. Well, terrific. Thank you so much again for a second wonderful conversation. And I will follow up with you, and you follow up with me, you know, if the book's, when the book comes out, because I would love to have another conversation with you about it.
No, that would be great.
Oh, we have a few other seconds. Too. I just was wondering if you can, everybody's struggling with email, and I was going to bring this up earlier when you were mentioning your three focus areas of time, technology, and talent. And I was just wondering if you have any specific tips that you can give over the air about how people can manage their email box, which has been, you know, used for more than so many different purposes that it's really cluttered.
Yeah, I guess some quick ones would be, sometimes people just don't stop and think about what's the purpose of the inbox, how should it be used? And I'm finding if I explain to people that really the best thing, the best reason is to think of your inbox as a to-do list. And so it's not an area where you just let emails hang out after you're done with them, because what can happen is those really important emails that aren't urgent will, you know, fall down about 12 pages if you're leaving a bunch of, you know, unnecessary things in your inbox. And so if you start to just, every time you're done with something, you get it out of your inbox and you create a way that you can find those other emails easily. And there's a lot to kind of explaining how to do that, but it's getting comfortable to moving stuff out of the inbox. And then I would say taking time to understand the search feature fully within your email client so that you can find those other emails easily and you don't have to have them perfectly organized is another really smart email tip. Most people know how to search just a couple things or a couple ways, but there's so many different ways you can search. And once you understand it, you'll feel more comfortable moving things out of your inbox.
And how many emails do you have in your inbox right now?
I think I have 25 maybe, but I will definitely run up to having like 150, and then I know like, oh my gosh, I feel out of control. I don't know what's in there. And then the priority for me is to get my inbox down, right? Then it becomes a different priority in the day versus just maintenance. Because I could be missing something really important and that scares me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great advice, good tips, and amazing level of organization you must have to manage all that you're doing. I really like that you're walking the talk, and so that's awesome. Yeah, it makes it even more impactful knowing that the tips that you're presenting here are things that you do with yourself, with your family, and also with those that you work with, and how you build out your teams.
Great.
All right, so we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Nancy.
Okay, thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, videographer, mon frère. My brother from another mother. All right, we'll see everybody next week. Make it a productive one.